Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we'll start in verse 13. Luke 23:13. Looking at the English Standard Version tonight. And I did find out some more information. I've mentioned to you that the Gideons, the ones who put all the Bibles in the motels and hospital rooms and at schools, at least they used to hand them out at schools. I don't know if they allow that anymore. But I found out that, you know, I told you they switched to the ESV, the English Standard Version. But what you wouldn't know unless you actually got a copy or found a copy online is that in the copyright section, the Gideons got special permission from the Crossway Company, who owns the copyright and did the ESV, to insert back in some of the majority text verses and words. Now, how many of you, well, I was going to say how many of you love a certain kind of car, but how many of you like Fords? Okay, somebody? How many of you like Chevys? Okay. How many of you like Dodge or Chrysler? Okay. How many of you like Subaru? How many of you like Honda? Okay. Yeah, I was teasing Brother Barry about that. That when they got a blue Honda van, the sister Laura found one for sale. And then we were looking for a vehicle, and I told my wife, we were looking for a Honda van, but I said, we can't buy a blue one. We went by all kinds of them, and finally we found one that said sea green, or I don't know, it said green. But we looked at it, and it seems like it's at least close to the same blue. So then Brother Barry and Sister Jamie updated to maroon or something like that. So the next one in line was Sister Laura, and she came in Sunday morning driving a maroon minivan. And so I'm thinking, uh-oh. but she was just borrowing it. So, but yeah, we're just wondering if people's going to think this is some type of group, you know, that to be a part of it, you've got to own, you know, a certain kind of car, you know, like that, or a certain kind of van. And the right color, too, of course. So, no. So, isn't it like, okay, so the Gideons take the ESV now. That's what's stamped on their Bible. But they've gotten special permission to put the other manuscript readings back in it, like the King James had. But on the outside, there's the ESV emblem. I mean, if you were to put a Honda emblem on your car, would that make it a Honda? No, not unless it is a Honda. If you put a Ford emblem or a Dodge or Chrysler or a Subaru, if you just put the emblem on, I can remember when I was young and I had a Camaro, Chevy Camaro, and what I really wanted to have was a Z28 Camaro. But I didn't. So I bought some Z28 stickers and put it on the dash, you know. But that didn't make it a Z28. Okay, so why would you, I don't know, because I haven't talked to the Gideons personally, but why would you ask to use a different translation and then get special permission to put the old things back in it? Why wouldn't you just keep the previous? And of course, they switched from the King James to the New King James some years ago. But another point of it about why are you doing this if you really don't agree with it? Is that will you not lead others astray? Because I did not know that they got special permission. And they didn't put all of the old verses back in. But a lot of them they did. So, but how does anybody supposed to know that? Because they've put the ESV emblem, as it were, on what they're handing out. So, what's going on? it's really confusing. So we need to pray. And Brother Jensen, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
To be here this evening, Father, thank you that we still have freedom in this land to freely assemble ourselves together and worship you in spirit and truth here tonight, Father, without fear of persecution, as we think of all so many people in this world that are not allowed to freely gather and worship you, Father. I ask that you protect them tonight, that you encourage them. We also think of Sister Nancy tonight, her situation there, Father, that you would comfort her.
Yes.
Father, that you'd give the doctors wisdom and family members peace at this time. I'm so thankful for your word that says cast all of our care upon you, Father. Whether we think it's big or whether we think it's trivial, you want it all. And we're so thankful for that.
Yes.
We're thankful that you can deal with it all, Father. Nothing is impossible for you. And Father, we're thankful for that. And just ask that you be with those that aren't here tonight, Father, that you'd encourage their hearts and you bless their evening tonight.
Yes.
We do pray for your word as Pastor brings it forth tonight, Father, that you would give us wisdom and understanding of your word.
Yes.
Attentive hearts and ears here tonight, Father, to pay attention to what the pastor has for us here tonight.
Yes.
Father, just thank you for the Holy Spirit in our lives that guides us and directs us and convicts us. And
yes.
We do ask for the Holy Spirit's help tonight in understanding your word and applying it to our lives that we might be better equipped to serve you in the days ahead, Father. We just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Luke 23 and verse 13. Luke 23:13. We'll read down through 19. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Now the ESV leaves out verse 17. Verse 17, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. The entire verse is missing. They even took the number 17 out. So once again, we've seen this so many times with the ESV. They take the number right out and they don't renumber. So the ESV would number 16, 18. You know, people that are just reading along and not paying any attention to the verse numbers wouldn't know that it's missing. But if you're looking at the numbers, you'd say, this Bible has a mistake in it. They're off on their numbering. So, once again, I believe that God has many of these modern versions doing that. They're skipping the numbers so that those who are attentive can find out something's missing there. Something is wrong in that spot. Remember what they said in their preface? They said the English Standard Version stands in the classic mainstream of English Bible translations over the past half millennium. The fountainhead of that stream was William Tyndale's New Testament of 1526. Marking its course were the King James Version of 1611. In that stream, faithfulness to the text and vigorous pursuit of precision were combined with simplicity, beauty, and dignity of expression. Our goal, that is the ESV, our goal has been to carry forward this legacy for this generation and generations to come. Now, they put the Ford symbol on a Chevy, or they put the Chevy symbol on a Ford, or they put a Volkswagen symbol on Subaru, or whatever. I mean, what they're saying is not lining up with what they did. It's not what you find inside. So what did Tyndale do? They praised Tyndale. Well, this is what Tyndale did. And I apologize. I forgot all about getting these in a format I could show you up here. But William Tyndale, in his translation, has verse 17 in there. For of necessity he must have let one loose unto them at that feast. So Tyndale has it in there. The ESV translator said Tyndale was the fountainhead of the faithful, precise stream. Tyndale had it in there, but they took it out. It's like, on the outside, this says it's a Dodge Ram. But on the inside, it says something about Ford Ranger or something. What it says on the outside doesn't match what it is on the inside. That's what they did in this translation. The next translation was the Bishop's Bible of 1568. That has verse 17 in it. For of necessity he must have let one loose unto them at the feast. So the Bishop's Bible had the verse in there. The next Bible in line was the Geneva Bible. It has verse 17 in there. For of necessity he must have let one loose unto them at the feast. And the next one would be the King James, 1611, verse 17 is there. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Now, all of these translations always give the excuse, well, the King James has too much archaic or old English in it. So we need to produce a new translation so we can understand it. Well, as you look at verse 17 in your Bible, what word in there is too difficult to translate? For, of, necessity, he must release one unto them at the feast. What old English word is there? There is none. So why would they take the whole verse out? Well, obviously, because they are not following the stream which they praise. They're following a corrupt stream that doesn't have this verse in it. That's the issue. Translating to update Old English has absolutely nothing to do with this verse. Nothing to do with it at all. It's just being dishonest is what it's doing. Now, if translators say something in their preface that doesn't match what they actually did, how can you trust them? If you turned over your finances to a financial advisor and he says to you, you now have $1,500,000 in your account, but then you look through the paperwork and find out there's actually $800,000 in there. So what he said doesn't match up what's actually in your books. When translators say something and that doesn't match up with what's actually in the book, why would you follow them? Why would you use them? I wouldn't. And I don't think anyone would. No one would use financial advisor that did such things. No, they're not following the stream, the faithful stream. What they're following is the same corrupt stream as the Jehovah's Witnesses follow. In the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witness, verse 17, they actually have the number, but then there's just a line. You know, it's kind of like, I guess Brother Luke could tell us about when they're doing a test in your heart. What's that called? EKG. There's kind of a problem if they're doing an EKG on you and the line is just flat. You know, there's no ups and downs. There's more than a little problem if that line is just is straight. Well, so the Jehovah's Witnesses go 16, a verse, 17, flat line, 18, a verse. So, once again, there's nothing there. Why? Why would the ESV praise the King James, the Tyndale, the whole stream, and then at the same time flatline some of these verses, take them right out. So they're actually following the same corrupt manuscripts as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, if I didn't know anything about Greek or Hebrew or had no access to look up these words, but I knew that these translators of the ESV followed the same manuscripts as the cult, Jehovah's Witness, I would know they were wrong. Something's deep wrong there. Well, that's exactly what happened. So let's look at this passage. Does it make any sense if you take verse 17 out? So verse 14, he's saying he saw no fault in this man, referring to Jesus. Verse 15, he's saying no, nor yet Herod. Herod couldn't find any fault in him. Verse 16, I will therefore chastise him and release him. Now, if you skip verse 17 and go to verse 18, he's saying in verse 16, I will therefore chastise him, Jesus, and release him. And verse 18, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas. Now, if you have one criminal, one person that you think is a criminal, although Pilate just declares him innocent, Pilate declared him innocent three times, Herod once, and yet Pilate still says, I will chastise him and release him. In verse 18, they're saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who, in verse 19, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Well, if you take out verse 17, it doesn't make any sense. Pilate is saying, I'll release Jesus. And the crowd yells out, no, crucify him, release Barabbas. Why release a known murderer? Why? I mean, in the thinking of the people, they hated Jesus. They wanted to kill him. But why would they bring up the release of a murderer, a known, proven murderer? Well, verse 17 tells us why. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. He had to release one prisoner. But if you take that explanation out, it makes no sense at all. Why would the people cry out to release a murderer? What did that have to do anything with Jesus? Well, what it had to do was Pilate had to release one. And they decided they'd rather have a murderer released. So that is taking out a very important fact for us to understand what is going on here. So that verse is very important in there. But sadly, our country has become a lot like these Jewish leaders here. We have so much corruption. I was reading recently and it said Democratic strategist James Carville sounded the alarm on the new Republican House Speaker, Mike Johnson, saying he and other Christian nationalists are a bigger threat to the country than Al-Qaeda. James Carville is the one that said that. I've got the quote right here. He is saying, Mike Johnson, which is a professing Christian, he and other Christian nationalists are a bigger threat to the country than Al-Qaeda. There's so much corruption, and I've read, and I'm sure you have too, that other of our high-up law enforcement agencies really are centering on Christians as a threat to this nation. How sad. We must ask, whatever happened to justice and honesty in our country? What happened to it? The Supreme Court just ruled on this, we've talked about it before, this conversion therapy. They're calling that when you try to counsel someone to come out of sodomy and practice normal biblical love. I think it said there's like 18 states that have laws now banning anyone trying to talk these people out of their wicked lifestyle. The Supreme Court upheld those laws. And two of the most recent Supreme Court justices sided with allowing those states to continue to outlaw someone from trying to talk them out of that wicked lifestyle. The corruption in our country goes right to the top in so many different areas. The legislative, the judicial, the executive branches. The corruption goes right to the top in so many of those areas. And, you know, at times I find myself crying out to God, Lord, help us. What can we do when the anti-God, anti-Bible sentiment runs so high in all these three branches of our government? And then the Lord reminds me, what did they do here to Jesus? There's not a one of us that are perfect. We are so far from it. But Jesus is perfect. And they still condemned him. The judge, Pilate, the judge, Herod, they all had their opportunity to judge him, to bring Jesus before them. None of them could find in him a cause of death. And yet what happened? Verse 24, Pilate gave sentence that it should be as what? As they required. Not as justice would require, but as what the people would require. Verse 25, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder, which was Barabbas, was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to what? Their will. Can you imagine if they came in tonight and arrested us and delivered us to the will of the sodomites? Or delivered us to the will of the transgenders? Or delivered us to the will of these politicians that hate God by the laws they promote? Can you imagine being delivered to their will? That would be pretty horrible. But that's exactly what happened to Jesus. Pilate, three times, said he was innocent. But verse 25, Pilate, he delivered Jesus to their will. There is no other injustice in all of history than this right here. Because Jesus is the only perfect one to live and die on this earth. No one else has fulfilled that. So whatever may come upon us, we are sinners. I mean, we are worthy of death, but not Jesus. And so when we get feeling so bad about what's happening, what did they do to Jesus right here? Notice in John 15. Well, if we can't face persecution right now, what's going to happen when we really face it in time to come? Brother Jesse and I was at a house Saturday, and a lady, she seemed friendly at first, come out in her garage and was talking to us. And when she found out where we was from, She says, oh, I mean, she totally changed. Oh, it was you three that, there's only two of us standing there, but it was three of you, your group, accosted me in the grocery store and hounded me. And I stopped her and says, ma'am, we never go in grocery stores by threes and do that to anyone. But she said, I'm going to go right in here. And did she say get on her knees? And she did, and pray for you, that you would go and do something like truly worthy, like help the homeless. I mean, she was just coming unglued. The fact of the matter is that in eternity, we were trying to help the homeless, her. Because in eternity, she's not going to have a home. She's going to be, the Bible describes it as wandering stars in the blackness and darkness forever. She's not going to have a place to lay down, not going to have a home. It's going to be the lake of fire, wandering, lost and condemned. But, you know, I mean, that's about the extent of our persecutions. Someone gets mad at us once in a while. Or maybe the dogs we have to fight. But you think of what Jesus, he was so unjustly accused, and they couldn't prove any accusations, but he was still condemned to death. So in John 15:18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it what? Hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would what? Love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? Now, that is a fact because Jesus said it. So why would we try to use worldly things to entice people to Christ? That's not going to work. Jesus said, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than who? His Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also what? Persecute you. That's us. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Well, the Bible tells us to leap for joy when we're persecuted for the Lord's name's sake. And Jesse and I didn't hop and skip and jump back to the car. At times I wonder about that, you know, doing that. The people are going to say, boy, those people are really crazy. Man, I just swore at them and chewed them out. And look at them. I mean, there's grown men hopping, skipping, and jumping back to their car. What is wrong with that group of people? Oh, my. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Brother Jesse, we'll have to try that sometime. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of what? A crooked and perverse nation. That is what we have become. We are a crooked and perverse nation. So what's the answer? Is it just doom and gloom? No, it goes on to say, among whom what? Ye shine as lights in the world. Well, how do we do that? It's verse 16. Holding forth what? The word of life, the Bible, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, yes, we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And you know what? With this AI, one of my sons was showing me a football coach that they were scheduled to play a game the following weekend, and someone used AI, which is artificial intelligence, to put together this video clip of the coach of a certain college kind of disparaging the team they were playing, like kind of making fun of them, belittling them. It was all an artificial intelligence creation. That was not that coach. And I don't know the coach that well, but they said it sounded just like him. And it looked just like him. Except they said just in one part of his nose looked funny when he was moving. I guess AI goofed up a little bit there. But some of the team members from the opposite college were really upset because they saw that video clip and they thought it was real. You know, it's like, who does he think he is? But they did end up beating the other team, I guess. So what might they do to us? You know, we're thinking right now, where is justice? Well, where is it going to be when they can use AI to create what appears to be us saying something that's totally fabricated? But if somebody has a video of it, how do you prove yourself innocent? That's what we are coming into right now. Can you imagine how the Antichrist is going to use all of these things to persecute those that serve Christ, having them say all kinds of things they never said? But in the meantime, we're to be lights in this world, in this crooked and perverse nation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is pure, that it is preserved. And Father, we thank you that the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. So Father, we see your hand in what these translators have done. You have caused them to have a lapse of wisdom, and when they remove a verse, they just take the whole number right out, proving that something's wrong. Something's wrong there. Something's missing. Just so you could show people that really want to know, people that care, people that would believe that you preserve your word, so that you could show them where some of these issues are, that they would leave the proof of their robbery behind. So, Lord, help us. We thank you that your word is pure and preserved, and help us to hold it forth as lights in this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books.